League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So welcome to yet another episode of the Thrilling On The Record podcast, Mr. Parry. It's been very hot over the last few days and week or so. So it's nice to get
hottest
to a cold...
period of the year.
Well, it's nice to get to a cold studio, isn't it?
Yeah, a bit of a cold studio. Yeah, the heat doesn't do me any good. When you've only got one third of your heart working, let me tell you that. It's very difficult to breathe in this sort of temperature.
You seem to have survived another scare, though.
I've survived another couple of days, but I don't know how long that can go on for.
Well, it's been going on for about 15 years so far,
hasn't it? No, it's longer than that, mate. Longer than that. I've been battling it for, decades. But anyway, I'll tell you one thing.
You're still winning.
Tell you one thing always amuses me. Yeah. So it's the marathon season now,
yes.
Right? And all these marathons being run all over the place. Uh-huh. Of course, you've never run a marathon, have you?
No, why would I?
No. Well, because, you know, people do it to achieve something in life. I have. But
you haven't run a marathon. No, you haven't.
Yes,
you've walked the Great North Run.
Yes, that's right.
Which is half a marathon.
Yeah, but it's classed as a marathon.
No, it's not. It's half a marathon.
No, it's a marathon.
No bollocks, is it? It's half a marathon.
You try fucking doing 13 miles then, okay? Even if you're walking
it. If I did do 13 miles, I wouldn't call it a marathon. I'd call it half a marathon.
All right, well, it's a road race, okay?
It's a half marathon.
It's a road race. Anyway.
And you didn't run it, you walked it.
You haven't even... I had to walk it because my heart is so weak, it can't pump blood around my body.
Do you know what people are starting to say to me?
Fast enough to carry oxygen into my body.
You know what people are starting to ask me?
What?
Whether there's actually nothing wrong with you at all.
Well, there is plenty wrong with me. Don't you worry about that.
Well, I'm not worried about it because I know there's nothing wrong with you because if you really had no fucking heart that was worth the fag end, you'd be dead by now, and you're not.
I'm not dead because of resilience and mind over matter.
I see.
The thing is, the complications
now... Most people
now
who have weak hearts don't win over the weak heart by having mind over matter.
Most of them
die.
No, they do.
No.
If you've got the willpower that I've got, you haven't got a problem.
Really?
Now, let me just tell you this. Okay? What I'm going to tell you is that... the complication now with diabetes 2, which is what I also have, makes me extremely vulnerable to all sorts of things,
lifestyle
including the virus
driven.
I've been suffering for the last 3 weeks,
Lifestyle driven.
Yeah.
If you hadn't spent most of your life getting drunk and pissing it up against the wall, you'd be a lot better and more healthy.
I reject that. Now, I came across one of my journals this week.
Did you?
It's arrived in the post and I got into it.
Okay.
And it's the Journal of Emerging Infectious Diseases.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm
it's one of my favourites.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Mock that. Which you don't understand, yeah? Yeah, the Journal of Emerging Infectious Diseases.
Yes.
And it has revealed something which is going to become an international scandal.
Go on, then.
And that is that there is now a strain of mad cow disease which has been discovered in camels.
Really?
Yeah.
Shouldn't it be called mad camel disease?
Well, yeah, I think it might be. It might be because...
one hump or two.
The study published by the International Team of Food Safety Scientists, and veterinarians, has confirmed the fatal degenerative disease... discovered in Algerian camels and have called for action to safeguard animal and human health.
We don't eat them, though, do we?
They do in parts of the world. This
do
is
they?
The point.
They
yeah,
eat camel?
Camel meat.
Really?
Yeah, camel meat. Yeah.
What does that taste like?
I don't know. I've never eaten it. How would I know?
Well, you've been to all sorts of strange parts
of the world.
Yeah, I
have.
Have you never seen camel on a menu?
No, never. Never.
Are you sure?
Never. I wouldn't eat it anyway, would I?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
I don't eat weird meat.
Yeah, but I mean, if you've...
Eat sushi.
Have you ever been to North Africa?
Which I've got something else to tell you about as well.
Have you ever been to North Africa?
Sorry?
Have you ever been to North Africa?
Of course I have, yeah.
Well, I've never seen camel on the menu.
No.
I thought they regarded the camel as the great sort of beast of the desert, and so they needed it to transport them around.
Ship of the desert, they're called.
Ship of the desert.
That's
so
right,
they wanted them to transport themselves around. They wouldn't be so horrible as to bloody eat them.
Yeah, but they've got millions of them. Do you know there's more camels in Australia than there are in Saudi Arabia?
Are there?
Did you know that?
I think I did know
yeah,
that.
Well, I've just told
you
anyway.
I think you told me before.
Yeah.
What are they doing in Australia?
Well, they're excellent workhorses in the sort of very arid, dry Northern Territory and around that rock that that mate of ours from the Express fell off. What was
what
that?
You mean Ayers Rock?
Ayers Rock, yeah.
It's not called that
fell
anymore.
Off it, do you remember?
Who fell off it?
The guy who was the business editor, Tom somebody. I mean, he's dead
now. Tom McGee?
Yeah, Tom McGee, yeah.
He fell off Ayers Rock?
Yeah, he broke his leg,
I think he had family in Australia, didn't he?
Did he have family in Australia? I don't
think
know.
His wife went
anyway,
Australia.
He's a bit of a dozy twat. Because
he was
all
right. No, he was a good guy. He became my deputy on the foreign desk.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well,
a very civilised man.
Well,
it's cynical of you not to like him.
What was he doing on the foreign desk? If he was a business,
Yeah, but he'd been
reporter.
Made redundant from the business desk.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
so they,
a lot of people
they decided
were.
Decided to rescue him and give him a job working for me on the foreign desk.
Anyway,
he wasn't very good at that.
He goes off to Australia, a bit of a holiday, his wife and all that.
Yeah.
You know, and next day I get a call. You know, a couple of days after he'd gone. You know, what's the problem?
Yeah.
Oh, Tom's going to be a bit longer on holiday than we thought. Why?
Right.
Oh, he fell off fucking Ayers Rock, didn't he? Broke his leg.
Dear. Well, it's not called Ayers Rock anymore. You know?
No,
it's called Uluru.
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 Right. Uluru,
because
yeah.
It's the local name for the rock.
Yes, that's right, yeah. But anyway, they've got loads of camels around there.
I've never seen a picture of a camel near Ayers Rock.
Oh, bollocks.
I've
camels
never seen
can
it.
Go 8 days without needing water.
Well, that may well be, but doesn't mean
eight
that doesn't
days without needing water.
Doesn't
that's brilliant,
fucking explain
isn't it?
How they get to Australia, is it?
What do you mean?
Well, how do they get there?
How do they get there?
They swim there.
No, you idiot. They shipped in, weren't they, from
shipped
the Middle
in.
East, yeah.
Who by?
Well, originally, 150 years ago, by mine owners.
Mine owners.
They were better than donkeys and that kind of stuff, because they could pull more weights and all that kind of stuff, you know?
Okay.
Then they proliferated, and now there are huge...
So you can't move in Australia for kangaroos and bloody camels.
Well, I mean, you don't see many camels in Sydney.
No, you don't.
Or Melbourne.
Certainly not.
But you do, or Perth.
Right.
But you see a lot
what
of them
about Adelaide?
I don't think you see them in Adelaide either, but you see them in the Great Central Desert regions, you know?
Well, isn't up north in what you call the Northern,
Northern
Territories,
Territories yeah.
isn't that where Wagga Wagga is and all those sort of places? Is it
yeah,
Wagga
probably.
Wagga?
It's where Crocodile Dundee comes from, anyway.
That's right, OK.
It's that sort of territory,
Northern
anyway.
Northern Territory, mate.
Anyway, the scientific breakdown on this camel disease business, right? The identification of... The prion disease in geographically widespread livestock requires urgent enforcement of surveillance and a... What are you laughing at?
Because you're reading out like a health warning.
This is from my journal.
Yeah, I can see that.
Of the
like a health warning.
Of the potential risk to human and animal health, okay?
Now, is this one of these situations where there can be a species jump? Because remember when...
It can be a species jump,
when
definitely.
We had mad cow disease, right? Which was called spongiform encephalopathy, I think.
Yeah, but
it wasn't
that. Wasn't it flu disease? Flu disease that was jumping to humans.
Well, bird flu they thought was jumping species, but they don't think they've ever found. I think they've only had maybe one or two cases in Africa of somebody actually human getting mad cow disease. The problem with the mad cow disease is they had to kill all the cows.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
they had to burn them.
Well, they didn't have to, but they did.
Well, they did.
Tony
Blair
ordered them all to be massacred.
Yeah, they burned.
I mean, weren't they? Millions of cows were.
That was very eerie, actually. Do you remember
it was
seeing
horrible.
The pictures at night of the sort of the bonfire of the cows?
Yes, that's right. It was horrible. But I think I told you that when the first foot and mouth disease hit this country post-war. It was in the 70s.
Uh-huh.
And I worked on the Chester Chronicle.
Yeah.
Cheshire is one of the biggest farming areas in this country.
Right.
And the old editor there, Herbert Hughes, the one who was given a bit of horizontal refreshment to Judith, the news editor.
Okay.
They were both in the 60s, so we used to snigger about
how
it in
shocking.
The pub quite a lot. You know what I mean? The thought
they both married.
He was. Yeah. She was. Oh, no, she was. But he was a widower, I think. That's right. Yeah, but Judith was.
So if she was the news editor, she must have been your boss then.
Yeah, she was, yeah.
You should have been going around sniggering about her.
Well, yeah, I was, yeah, because she was about 60 and she was getting a right good scene to from old Herbert. He was the editor,
Herbert.
You know.
It wasn't that much of a Herbert, was
we used
he?
To spot them in the office mini in the underground car park below the office.
What a glamorous life that
was. Yeah, exactly.
The office mini.
Yeah, that's right.
Which, take a stroll down
which
the
wasn't,
office mini,
wasn't very, you know, sort of glamorous at all.
No.
But anyway, the point of my story is,
yeah.
is that Herbert was big into, like, Cheshire life and all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
So he wrote a book later called Plague on the Cheshire Plain.
Oh, yeah.
And it was all about foot and mouth and all that kind of stuff,
right.
you know.
Didn't mention Judith.
No. But he, in fact, sold a total of about 11 copies,
really?
You know what I mean? It's one of those fucking books that nobody would wanted to read.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have been written in the first place.
He bought 10 of them.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. But anyway, listen, you were asking about eating camel,
yes.
okay?
Yeah.
Now then... for instance, let me see. Now, this BSE-infected feed, which is fed to camels, has reached North Africa. There are more than 10 million dromedary or Arabian camels worldwide. although best known in the West as pack animals, they're a major source of meat and milk in Africa and the Middle East.
Really?
Who's the most famous person you know who recently had a plate of a platter of grilled camel meat while on a trade mission in Abu Dhabi? What? None other than our Foreign Secretary, Boris Johnson.
Boris Johnson's eating camel meat. Well, he may be the first man to be infected by this mad camel disease.
That's right, yes, absolutely.
That would explain a lot, actually.
Yeah, it would explain a lot. Tests found that camel prion disease, known in the business as CPD, is present in 3% of the camel population. Okay?
Yeah, I get that, yeah.
So that's something
he
we've
ate
got
this camel meat quite a long time ago, because I'm just looking at a piece here that, tells you about what does it taste like.
Yes, that's
right. Apparently it's eaten in North and West Africa. French President François Hollande, when he was the French President, found out it was given to him by accident.
Yeah.
It was turned into a tagine.
Yeah,
look at that. Yeah. That's what it looks like. It looks a bit like regular meat, doesn't it?
No, it looks horrible.
No, but it looks like ordinary. It looks like ordinary meat.
Wouldn't get me eating it, mate. I won't even.
Well, you might have eaten it by mistake. You can buy camel burgers.
I don't even like eating veal, because I think that's dodgy, you know.
You can buy camel burgers.
Camel burgers. Where?
We might have to try one.
Buy those.
Well, do you know in
McDonald's in downtown sort of
Abu Dhabi? Well,
Abu Dhabi,
Borough Market, there's a place that sells giraffe burgers. Sells ostrich burgers.
Yeah, don't get me eating all that,
Sells buffalo burgers.
No.
All that kind of stuff. I've never seen camel, though.
No, not
crocodile.
At all.
I've had crocodile burgers.
What?
I've had crocodile burgers. It tastes a bit like chicken.
It's not for me. Listen, talk about food and all that, right? Apparently...
Well, hang on, is that the end of your camel story?
Well,
I thought you were going to tell me how dangerous it's going to be.
Well, I've told you, it's going to spread around the world.
Well, how's it
going to
spread around the world, though?
How's it going to spread around the world? Yeah. Because, you know, people like Boris Johnson start eating it when he goes abroad and all that.
Yeah, but there's no camels in London.
Listen, people will start importing camel meat if it gets cheaper.
Right.
And passing it off. Like, people now import horse meat and pass that off as all sorts of things.
I mean, they eat it in France. Why would you import it?
Cheval.
Cheval. They have those butchers, don't they?
Cheval.
The butchery, where they have the cow's head on the one place and then they have the horse's head on the other. Which means they're selling you horse meat.
No, for me. See, this gets me round to the purpose of this whole discussion, and which is that where is our traditional food going? For instance, the biggest rise in taste of food in this country over the last 10 years has been sushi restaurants, okay?
Sushi, yeah.
The rise of what they call the Japanese dude food, okay?
Dude food?
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of sushi, actually.
Oh, neither am I. I hate it.
Have you ever tried it?
No.
Well, so how do you know you don't like it?
Because it's uncooked fish.
Well, yeah, I know.
Why would you want to eat uncooked fish?
But you don't know the flavour until you try the flavour.
Is smoked salmon uncooked or cooked?
No, it's smoked. So that means it's cooked effectively. Because
that's what I mean. So
smoking something means you've cooked it.
Yeah, that's the nearest thing I would get to eating uncooked food.
Yeah,
you know
but
what I mean?
It doesn't taste that different from sushi, in fact. So
right?
if you like smoked salmon, you probably would like sushi.
I don't think so. By the way, we started talking about marathons, right, before we got on to camel food and all that. And... one point I want to make is that in this very hot weather, horses have been dropping dead at race meetings, unfortunately, which is a terrible thing. And
That's
they had to cancel.
Good.
Last week, they cancelled a race at Cheltenham
because
it was too long. It was 3¾ miles.
Yeah.
And in the, it was one of the hottest days of the year.
Well, they get very sweaty, don't they, horses?
Well, they find the heat terribly tiresome, right?
How did you get on in the Grand National, by the way?
Second. Yeah, and the horse nearly got up on the line and then came back down off the line.
Well, it was a photo finish, wasn't it?
Photo finish.
In fact, I said at the time, because somebody in my group had the winner.
Yes.
The mother of my children, in fact.
Yes.
And if the race had gone for another 5 yards, the horse that came second would have won it.
Yeah, well, that's right.
Because it was coming
that's
up.
Exactly. That's the one I had. Funny enough, you've just reminded me of something. You just solved a puzzle for me.
Oh, really? What?
You've solved a puzzle for me.
Oh, I'm very honoured.
2 days ago, feeling ill and sick and all that, I decided just to take a stroll across Epsom Downs.
Oh, yeah.
And at the end of it all, I decided to have a couple of sherbets to try and lift my spirits.
And how was that?
It was okay.
Because normally if your heart's not working well and it's very, very hot, you should stay away from alcohol. They did tell you that.
Yes, that's right.
It's not good for you.
It's not good for you, no. So anyway, I've just realised where £75 suddenly appeared from in my pocket.
Oh, yeah.
Because in the course of walking over the Epsom Downs to the other side, this place called Jean, and... the following morning, I found £75 in my pocket, and I was wearing shorts.
Oh, yeah.
Because I went for a walk in my shorts for the first time this year, okay? To get, vitamin D on my skin.
Yes.
Now then, the following morning, this happened 2 days ago.
Yeah.
I found £75 in my pocket.
Really?
Now, it always worries me, because sometimes I have to admit, when I do get bladderated, I go off to cash machines and I put my card in, and I can never remember how much I've taken out, because I like to gauge...
Don't you get a receipt?
No, I never do, no. Right. Well, it's just bits of paper, isn't it?
Well, I mean, do you not ever worry that you might take a load of money out and then get mugged?
Well,
especially down in Stockbroker Belt, Surrey, where there's a massive crime wave going on.
No, not at all. So what I like to do is I like to know how much I've taken out, because then if I'm only left with £175, it means I've either spent £25, £75 or £125.
Well, how do you know?
Well, I don't. This is and this is so. Anyway.
Well, I mean, do you sort of gauge how much you spent depending on how bad your hangover is?
Well, maybe, or maybe I've been very generous and like bought some meals or something like that.
Some random person a meal.
Yeah, or I might have gone and put a bet on that lost or something like that. So I can't always remember because
you should get receipts for this stuff.
Anyway, so I've just remembered where that money came from.
Well, you got it from the betting shop.
From my ticket.
Yeah.
Because I was walking around with that ticket in my pocket for a week. Right,
and then, had you put cash down for the bet?
I'd put cash down for the bet,
I've got a problem with that, and I'm now going to have to walk out because I've just realised, right, that the money that I won for the horse winning, I don't think I've ever seen it in a bank account. Normally, if you pay with a switch card, not a switch card, a debit card, which is what I did, they normally just put the money into your bank account, don't they?
I don't know. I love the feeling of going into a betting shop, presenting a slip and getting a load of money over the counter.
Yeah, but do you remember when we were doing the show on Grand National Day?
Yes.
And I said to you, things are a bit difficult because I was meant to go and put the money on a betting shop in a battle.
Yes.
But they've done away with it. It's not there anymore, right?
Yeah, right.
Apparently, they've shut it down.
Yeah,
so I actually had. So I put the bet on in Greenwich. Mm. I had to find a betting shop on the way out that was somewhere where I could park the car.
Exactly.
I had to park the car down on
damn
a yellow
nuisance.
Line.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, because I'm going to get a fucking ticket.
No,
right?
I've got an account, by the way, as well. I've got a card in my wallet.
I've told you, I've got loads of accounts.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know any of the fucking passwords.
That's
are,
right.
So I don't bet
that's
very
right.
Often.
That's right. And they always say, "What's your password?"
So
you can't
every
remember.
Time I try and bet, it says, "You already have an account. Please don't open a new one." And you go, "Well, the fuck, I don't know what to do." Anyway, so if I have to go back and collect it, I'll have to go back to that place.
Yes, you will. Yeah,
And maybe see if I. But I haven't got the ticket now.
Yeah. Well, listen. Guess what I did? I went onto my online banking. Yeah. I don't have to do that now. Right. I've worked that out. That's and I got onto my account.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is the biggest mystery of the week.
Right.
Because I had not taken any money out of a hole in the wall the day
before.
Didn't know
how you, well, so I've solved your problem then.
Yeah, solved it absolutely.
See,
and now
while
I know
we're
where
talking,
it came
right,
from.
I'm going to look up my bank account because I can look it up on my phone, right?
Right, right.
And I will see whether they deposited them because I won about £60.
Well, you should have that back, shouldn't you? Yeah.
Well, I should.
Yeah.
But I've never seen them putting it in.
Oh, okay. Sushi anyway I'm not into, so I was telling you about that, so I don't want any more sushi restaurants.
See, all there is money going out, and there's no money fucking coming in.
Well, there you go, you see, you don't know what you're doing.
That's ridiculous.
Chinese restaurants closing down all over the place, right?
Yeah.
But they're being replaced by sushi restaurants. I do not want that.
Well, I've not seen Chinese restaurants shutting down all over the place. I mean, most parts of Britain, if you drive through them, you know, London may be different, but I mean, most places have got a Chinese restaurant. I mean,
they haven't
anymore.
When
I lived in Wiltshire, right, even Market Lamington, a tiny little village, had a Chinese.
Well, some tiny villages do have them, but I'm telling you now, Brendan Rodgers. People think that he might be the next Arsenal manager.
Oh, for God's sake.
That'll be the big debate over the next few weeks.
Yeah.
There's.
I don't think it's going
to
be him.
There are plenty more issues I want to talk to you about.
Yeah, go
I haven't finished talking to you about Marathon yet, okay?
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So what are you going to tell me about the marathon?
Well, you see, what I think is absolutely wrong about these marathons is all these dickheads who go running around in fancy dress, okay?
Yeah.
I think it's absolutely pathetic.
Well, it's not very safe for them either.
It's not safe, and there's going to be this is the marathon season now. There's going to be lots of marathons running, very hot weather, right? Very, very hot weather. And these people are putting themselves at peril and at risk.
Yes.
If you're carrying, like, all this stupid weight because you're running in a horse costume, you know, or if you're, I mean, some of these idiots, like, take up to, is it 6 weeks when they wear one of these diver's belts, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, do you remember the guy that went round in a diver's suit? He did. I think he took 6 weeks.
Yes.
But he's the same guy that went on, put the diver's suit on and went and walked around the bottom of Loch Ness. Do you remember that?
No.
Really? Yeah, the same diver's suit, right? Which means that you can stay on the bottom of the of the loch floor. If
yes,
you like.
That's right.
So it's like underwater. He walked around the whole of the outer perimeter of Loch Ness underwater.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
What
I think it took him about
dickhead.
A month.
Good God.
Well, no, he did it for charity.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's plenty of things you can do for charity. He was spending weeks walking around on the bottom of Loch Ness.
It did seem a bit odd to me.
He didn't see Nessie then, obviously.
He obviously didn't see Nessie, neither was he eaten by Nessie either.
No. Yeah. But I think it's absolutely pathetic. There are things like Save the Rhino, right? Yeah. And what these guys do is they dress up as rhinoceros and go running around in rhinoceros suits. I don't care about the rhino.
No?
You never see a rhino when you're walking through Regent's Park in London.
Haven't they got one?
You never see... Well, they might have one in the zoo, but they shouldn't have one in the zoo. Right. There shouldn't be rhinos in the zoos. You never see, for instance, you know, if you're walking across Epsom Downs, if you're walking across...
Well, I think if you saw a rhino and you're walking across Epsom, drinking a bit too much fucking absinthe.
The plague on the Cheshire Plain.
What the fuck's that? It's a white rhino.
The plague on the Cheshire Plain. You don't see any rhinos. And when you go to Delamere Forest in Cheshire, there are no white rhinos.
Not only are there no white rhinos there, there's none in bloody Africa where there's supposed to be either.
Well, there is.
There's one left, isn't there?
No, there's... I think in sub-Saharan Africa, they're all gone.
Right.
But in North Sahara, there's still a few around.
Speaking of the Sahara, did you see Sophie Raworth? You know, the BBC
newswoman? Sophie Raworth,
She ran that ridiculously difficult marathon.
Where it's about 47 degrees.
In the middle of the fucking Saharan desert.
I know.
She ran five marathons, I think, in 6 days.
Yeah, well, very good luck
to her. Jesus Christ.
It's not the sort of thing I would do, okay?
No, neither me.
I mean, for instance, you know, people can cause themselves problems, and that means that the emergency services are on alert and having to, you know, come out and help people who are actually putting themselves at risk by running in such ridiculous costumes, okay?
Well, because here's the thing, right? If you're going to run in a ridiculous costume...
Yeah.
Do you have to practice run in the ridiculous costume? Like, for example, if you're...
Yeah, I don't think they do, no.
Well, if you ran a London Marathon, say, dressed as, I don't know, dinosaur, do you have to practice running dressed as a dinosaur?
No.
So you don't?
No, they don't. The warning is about renewed advice on lightweight moisture management clothing. It's the moisture management, that you've got to get right, okay?
I could do with a bit of moisture management.
Bit of moisture management.
Yeah, I don't mind
certainly
a bit of
doing
moisture
your face.
Management.
Your skin's looking a bit rough lately, but that's
my
probably...
My skin actually is very smooth.
Yeah, that's probably years and years.
I've got some of the reasons I look so young is because I don't have wrinkles. Okay, now some unkind people would say that's because I'm a bit on the chubby side.
Yes,
but I'd rather not be wrinkled. Do you know what I mean? And my skin is very soft.
I don't care about my face being wrinkled or not.
Well, your face isn't particularly wrinkled, either, considering your great age.
No, well, I'm not a great age anyway, but I've always looked after myself, got out into the fresh air for the vitamin D.
Really?
Listen, that poor old guy Dale Winton's died.
Dale Winton has died,
what a shame,
A terrible piece was written in The Independent, but it wasn't in the Independent newspaper, it was the Independent blog.
Oh, yes.
And by some tosser, right, who didn't even put his name on it.
Right.
It was written by the Independent staff.
Yes.
And basically, it was all about how, you know, well, everybody said they loved Dale Winton, but you know what? Mm. He liked Donald Trump, so basically the man was a horrible bastard.
Really?
And they basically ripped
him
apart, which I think is disgraceful.
It is disgraceful.
And even lefties who read The Independent were kind of aghast
that
these fuckers would actually besmirch somebody's good name.
You get very angry and your language is escalating.
Because, I'll tell you why, I think it's disgusting.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't think you should slag people off. I take you to task sometimes when you slag people off just after they've died.
Yeah.
But Dale Winton was one of those people everybody liked.
Yeah.
And the fact that he liked Donald Trump doesn't make him the fucking devil incarnate,
No, but the problem is, and I've said this before many times, And you have sympathy with this, that the lefties are completely intolerant of anybody who doesn't have their view. Whereas right-wingers believe in a free society and the right of somebody to think differently to them.
Yeah.
But the problem is, the old lefties get so nasty if you
they
don't
do.
Accord to what they do.
They do.
You know, that lady Caitlin Moran, woman who writes three columns for the Times over the space of a week, calls everybody, you know, anybody who doesn't vote Labour tomorrow is basically a see you next Tuesday.
Yeah.
And it's horrible,
it's
you know.
It's not very nice.
But that's the way they think, that if you don't accord to the way they think, because what they do is, they try to make out all the time, the lefties, that, well, we're lefties, so we're kind.
Oh, we're the kind ones. And, we're the only people who have compassion.
Yeah, we're the only people who have compassion.
But they don't see the irony of the fact that the people they're having a go at, and they would like to see sort of hanging from a yardarm, are the ones who have no compassion, when in fact it's actually them that have no compassion.
No, they have no compassion for anybody who has a different point of view to them. The point is, they can't understand that compassion comes in many forms. Mm. If you run a society properly, it's got a good economy and it's prosperous and it earns money for the state, then everybody can have a good life.
Yes.
You can't have a good life if you suddenly say, oh, these people are disadvantaged, or brackets in my view, idle. Yeah, idle or wanting to live an alternative lifestyle.
Yeah.
Give them loads of money. Where's that money come from? Oh, it comes from the people who work. But yeah. if we take all their money off them, they haven't got any money. They'll leave the country. Then we won't have any money at all. Then we become Venezuelan. Yeah. The country collapses.
Venezuelan.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to be Venezuelan.
No food in the shops. Yeah. And all of a sudden you have a crisis, okay?
How's Cuba coming along, by the way?
Cuba!
You told me a couple of weeks ago that the new Cuban leaders were going to be taken over. So how's he getting on? Is he taken over yet, the new leader?
Well, the new leader is still referring to Raul Castro.
Oh, even I thought Raul he was handing over to some other bloke.
No. They've handed over to a guy who's going to run the country along the lines of the dogma of Beetledom.
Oh, yes. No, I know you told me all this. So I'm asking you for an update.
Yeah, well,
you haven't got one, have you?
I'm going to update you. I'm going to go to Cuba and find out what's going on.
Are you?
Now, what I want to tell you about is the fact if I see one more piece about Meghan Markle, I am going to scream.
Why?
Well, you know what?
The royal wedding is a great event for the day, isn't it?
Yeah, but all the posh papers now, every Saturday now, there's a pullout on Meghan Markle.
Well, every fucking day there seems to be a pullout.
Yeah. Listen, curb your language, please.
Why?
You're getting a bit wild and excessive again.
Why
you know,
do you want
that's
me to
got
stop
you into
swearing?
Trouble in the past.
Why is you want
well,
me to stop
because
swearing?
We are a family show. We are mostly a family show.
All right. Well, hey, the last I tell you time else, I saw the reaction on Twitter to our podcast On the Record.
What?
People like the swearing.
I tell you what else. Tell you else what happened quite recently. Barbara Bush has died.
She has.
Known as the grandmother of the American state.
That's right.
And quite a family then, really, when
the
you think
Bushes,
about it.
Yeah.
Both her husband...
Not Texan at all, of course.
No, they're from New England.
Everyone thought they were Texan.
By the way...
Just because they were the governors of Texas. Yeah. In fact, nothing to do with Texas.
By the way, how many states do you believe make up what is officially known in America as New England?
New England?
Yeah.
I think there's originally seven, isn't there?
Well, do you know what? I was asked it in a quiz question, and I said four. Because
uh-huh.
the only ones I could think of were Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, and New Hampshire.
Okay.
But in fact, it's six.
Oh, is it?
So what would the other two be?
It was seven. Well, Maine would be one, wouldn't it?
Maine, that would be, definitely,
And, you said Massachusetts. Did you say Connecticut?
Yeah, I did,
So Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Vermont would be the other one, wouldn't it?
Vermont, where's Martha's Vineyard?
Martha's Vineyard is Massachusetts.
Massachusetts, yeah, well, Vermont is the other one.
So Vermont is north of New Hampshire.
Yeah, that's right.
Between New Hampshire and the Canadian border. So it would be New Hampshire, Vermont, Maine, Massachusetts,
that's
Connecticut,
right.
Rhode Island. So
yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I think that's absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the old Meghan Markle thing, you know, it just... I just think that because of the profession you and I were in for so long, journalism and all that, there's an overkill going on.
Uh-huh.
There was an overkill when Arsene Wenger stepped down last week
as
manager.
If he walks off a plane and hit the airwaves in the taxi on the way in from the airport, you would have thought that Arsene Wenger had died.
Yeah, you would, yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, you would, definitely.
I mean, the
amount
of kind of tributes to him,
yes.
remembrances of the things that he had done,
yes.
the great sort of you know hero-worshipping pieces
That's
by
right.
people in the
That's
papers.
Right. Absolutely.
You would have thought, Jesus, has he died?
Yeah, you would have done, yeah. Now, what I want to tell you is this, okay?
Yeah.
I saw a report from another one of my journals.
Yeah.
And the big whinge now, you know, a lot of it's funded, obviously, by sort of unions and people like that, you know what I mean? Is that too many people in this country, almost two out of five people, are made to stay late at work with a culture of... presenteeism being encouraged by bosses.
Presenteeism?
Presenteeism.
What does that mean?
Being present in the office,
you
see what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, right, just hanging about.
That's right, to make it look like you're a loyal
worker.
Well,
there's an awful lot. I mean, you and I have worked with loads of people over the years who used to sit around in an office and do absolutely nothing.
Absolutely fuck all squared, that's
right.
I
thought you were trying not to swear.
Well, that's a popular expression which everybody knows I'm using in appropriate circumstances.
All right, just as long as
not just to be profound, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Now,
or even profane.
Now, what I'm going to say is that profanity, that's right.
That's it.
Now, you and I, of course, worked in a professional journalism where there was never a going home time.
No.
Going home time was either A, when you desperately needed a drink and therefore had to get out of the office.
Well, Well, then you didn't go home either.
Yeah, you didn't often go home. No, you went for a drink. Or B, it was because we had decided there was nothing going on today and it's all a load of bollocks and we're going to get out of here before the baby gets any worse, not better.
Don't forget there was the other reason for going home, which was to go to somebody else's home for a bit of horizontal refreshment
if that
was required.
That was that. There was that.
Because there was quite a lot of that going on in the days when I worked in Fletcher,
That's right. But anyway, it says here, researchers found that one in three employees looked down on staff who left work on time.
Oh, yeah.
Now
I don't even know when that is, though.
Well, I kind of agree with that. I mean, you know, you leave work on time, then I mean, I see sometimes like estate agents. You walk past the estate agent's office around about 5:30 at night, right? And you're thinking, what are they going to do now? Pack up, go to the pub, have a couple of drinks, talk about the big deals they've done today?
Right.
Or will they stay there till 7 and keep answering the phones and keep, you know, giving people a reasonable service?
Well, I think you can tell with particularly estate agents' offices, because normally the thing about estate agents is always trying to stitch each other up.
Yeah, they are.
Because estate agents get commission, do they not, depending on how much business they're doing. So I would imagine in almost every estate agent's office in Britain, there'll be at least one person who's a bit like you. Who will be trying to stitch up his colleagues. So he would wait for them all to go home and then probably rifle through their drawers to see what sort of leads they've got.
Yeah.
And then he'll probably start ringing up the people that they think
are... And tell him I can get them a better deal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I would do that. Yeah, yeah, I would do that. But that's because I'm smarter than the average bear.
Well, that's why you're into property, because it's a disgusting and completely amoral business.
No. If people are too stupid to realise that it's a competitive business and there are others around, then they shouldn't be in that business in the first place.
But in an awful lot of businesses now, there is no such thing as a sort of fixed amount of time that you work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, weren't we supposed to have some kind of European work time directive, which means that we don't work more than 36 hours a week?
Yes.
Well, what a load of bollocks that is.
Yeah, well, do you know, years ago, I remember even my father telling me this, and you know, when your father, when you're about eight and your father tells you how the world's going to be when you grow
up. How did he tell you it was going
to
be?
Well, what he said to me was, I mean, he was a right whinger, my old father.
He?
I mean, he whinged about everything in life, you know. Oh, life always had another...
Did he think life had treated him badly?
Well, I think so, yeah. You know, it was always about, you know, life had a another miserable blow to deliver him. You know, like his car had broken down and couldn't afford to get it repaired.
Yeah. Or, crappy car.
Or he suddenly found a hole in the roof and he had to get up on a ladder. He fell off a ladder once and broke his leg when he was trying to mend the roof. So, you know,
I don't know why we're laughing at that.
I don't either.
It's quite tragic.
So that didn't, you know,
enamor him. Was he laid up for a while?
Well, I was so small. Yeah. My mother told me about it. I don't even remember. Yeah. But he did. He fell off a plank, believe it or not. You know, you know, he put up this ladder. And
that's very apt. How come you never told me this story before?
Well, because I only just remembered it, you know. And he tied this, the plank to the top of the ladder and then to the roof, you know what I mean? But then he slipped off the plank.
Yeah, my old man was obviously really stupid things like this. He used to jump around all over the place. He used to run and jump over poles and stuff like that.
What for?
Well, just because he liked doing it. You know, if you saw like a bollard in the street,
he would
leapfrog over it.
Well, I used to, my party trick, I've told you before, was to leap over post boxes.
Well, we've seen the stunted up video. No, but he actually used to do it for real.
Really?
But I remember meeting him one night when we were kids and we were supposed to go for dinner. And he was leaning up against the wall and it was somewhere down in like Mayfair because we used to go to this Italian restaurant down there.
Yeah.
And as he came towards us, we realised he was limping, like really heavily limping, dragging his foot like he was lame.
Right.
And he apparently turned his ankle on the tube. He jumped down a load of stairs and gone over on his ankle. And he could barely fucking walk.
Yeah, really?
It was quite embarrassing.
Do you remember a colleague of ours?
I think that's why I'm so sedentary, because he was always active.
Yeah.
He was always jumping over
things. Right. Well,
I don't jump over anything.
You know, no, you don't. You walk at the pace of a snail.
Yeah,
actually,
but I think that's
part
partly
of your image.
But it's partly my reaction to his kind of activity.
Part of your laid back image. Mm. Do you remember a colleague of ours at, I think he worked at the Mail, or it might have been the Sun, I'm not sure. And he was out one night on the old falling down fluid with a load of pals.
Uh-huh.
And they were somewhere in East London,
yeah.
You know, because all the newspaper industry had moved over there. And he took a running jump over a wall, thinking that on the other side was a pebble beach on the shore of the River Thames.
You're talking about Nick Parker, aren't you?
Yeah. In fact, it was a 30-foot drop. He broke everything.
Yeah.
I think he broke his pelvis.
He jumped out of a window of the Tower Hotel.
What for?
I don't know. He just
what do you mean he jumped out
idea.
A window of the Tower Hotel?
He jumped out of a window
I thought he
of the
jumped
Tower
over
Hotel.
A wall in exuberance when he was pissed.
No, he was pissed, but he was in the Tower Hotel with a load of people for some reason, because they used to stay there a lot, because obviously it was
opposite Whopping. That's right,
And for some reason, they were all in a room at the Tower Hotel. Somebody must have had a room.
Yes.
And I think he just, because he was in drink, took one look out onto what looked like the mud flats of the Thames.
Mm.
And somehow convinced himself it would be a great idea to jump onto them to see what it was feel like.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel very good. He broke his fucking back.
That's right, he did, yeah.
He was out of work for about 2 years.
That's right, he broke his pelvis and smashed his face up.
I've seen him since then. He's all right now.
Oh, really? Yeah, okay. Well, he was married to a girl who used to be a feature writer for me called Claire somebody.
Oh, yeah.
She had a shock of ginger hair and she was very nailed in. She was from Rochdale, you know.
Yeah.
And she said, "This stupid bastard jumped out of a window."
Yeah, nobody could work out why he did it.
Yeah. And guess what? While he was on his deathbed, because, I mean, he was very, very seriously injured and all that, she discovered she was pregnant with twins.
No, dear.
It was their first children.
I think that's true. I think she went ahead and had them, didn't
she? Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Yeah, funny enough, I saw him about 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, really,
And, you know, he's fine now. Mm.
Is he? Yeah. Well, pretty damn stupid thing to do anyway.
Very much so, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, now
we're pretty much out of time now.
Pretty much out of time. Just one more thing I want to talk to you about, and that is the situation regarding divers.
Divers.
Well, I'll tell you about that another time.
Tell me about it another time. Yeah, it's coming up in the next couple of weeks. We're going to be doing another Ask Porky.
We are going to be doing another
There'll be another Porky Vision.
Another Porky Vision,
we
indeed.
We still haven't quite worked out how to do a Porky quiz. We will do one. Mm. We will definitely do one because more and more people are joining us as the On The Record podcast becomes more and more successful.
They are, indeed.
We passed our 2 millionth listen weeks ago, so we're on our way to 3 million now.
That's right.
And that's going to be very exciting.
This is a very encouraging relationship we have with those people at Audio Boom.
Audio Boom, we do indeed.
Going to a wine store called Lathwaite's for a special celebration, which we'll tell people about later.
Yes, absolutely right. We are the Two Mics.
The old editor there, Herbert Hughes, the one who was given a bit of horizontal refreshment to Judith, the news editor.
Okay.
They were both in their 60s, so we used to snigger about
how
it in
shocking.
The pub quite a lot. You know what I mean?
Both married?
He was. Yeah. She was. Oh, no, she was. But he was a widower, I think. That's right. Yeah, but Judith was.
So if she was the news editor, she must have been your boss then.
Yeah, she was, yeah.
You should have been going around sniggering about her.
Well, yeah, I was, yeah, because she was about 60 and she was getting a right good scene to from old Herbert. He was the editor,
Herbert.
You know.
It wasn't that much and of a Herbert, was
we used to spot them in the office mini in the underground car park below the office.
The glamorous life, that
was. Yeah, exactly.
The office mini.
Yeah, that's right.
In case which, take a stroll down
which
to the
wasn't,
office mini.
Wasn't very, you know, sort of glamorous at all.
No.
The big whinge now, you know, a lot of it's funded obviously by sort of unions and people like that, you know what I mean, is that too many people in this country, almost 2 out of 5 people, are made to stay late at work with a culture of presenteeism being encouraged by bosses.
Presenteeism?
Presenteeism.
What does that mean?
Being present in the office,
you see
what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Right, just hanging about.
That's right, yeah, to make it look like you're a loyal
worker.
Well,
there's an awful lot. I mean, you and I have worked with loads of people over the years
who
used to sit around in an office and do absolutely nothing.
Absolutely fuck all squared, that's right.
I thought you were trying not to swear.
Well, that's a popular expression which everybody knows I'm using in appropriate circumstances,
all right, just as
not just to be profound, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Now,
or even profane.
Now, what I'm going to say is that profanity, that's right. You never see a rhino when you're walking through Regent's Park in London.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.